In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first encyclical letter which we addressed at the beginning of our pontificate to the bishops of the Universal Church, we referred to the chief causes of the difficulties under which mankind was laboring. And we remember saying that these manifold evils in the world were due to the fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives, that these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. And we said further that as long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be really no hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. Men must look for the peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ. These are words taken from the opening paragraph of the document Quas Primas, the encyclical letter of Pius XI, which established the Feast of Christ the King on the 11th of December, 1925. Almost 100 years ago, he was acutely aware of the evils that beset man. And he also understood that the cause of these evils was the simple fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives. If this was true 100 years ago, it is even more true in the world in which we live today. So much so that in ages past, there was a slight embarrassment and a trepidation when one realized that they had thrust from the center of their lives the mystery of our Savior. But now men rejoice. They are proud of the fact that they have pushed God to the fringes. They have removed him from the public sector, and they have embarrassed all of us who are believers in him and in his holy laws. They are proud of the fact that they have made us embarrassed of who we are and what it is that we actually believe. The Holy Father then, and as it has been continuously, repeats this clarion call to the centrality of Christ, not just in our lives as Catholic men and women, but the centrality of Christ in the whole world. All men must bend the name at the Savior in recognition of who he is, what it is that he has accomplished, and how we are to be with him, in relationship with him. And when we lose this proper understanding of our relationship with him and our disposition before him, when we lose the understanding of our proper posture and humility before God, it is an easy step to thrust God and his holy laws from the center of our lives and to live and exist as if we were the masters of our own destiny. Of course, there are a great many causes of the position in which we find ourselves now and then. A crisis of faith where men choose to cling to the things of the world instead of clinging to God. And in our own age, there is a crisis of leadership, a refusal of the bishops, the cardinals, and even at times the Pope himself to be governed by God and the truths of Holy Mother Church. And of course, on an individual level, a refusal for all of us to take responsibility for our faults and our failings. It is much either to blame others for the things that are wrong in my life, or to simply change and refashion reality into something that is easy of my own making. And in this way, in either way, I don't have to be responsible for my faults and my failings and my sins. But all of these, this crisis of faith, crisis of leadership, and failure egregiously in responsibility, all have at their root, at their heart, a refusal to allow God to lead and to allow God to reign. God is king. I am not. God is the master of my destiny. I am not. God is the author of my existence, and he is the one who has set me on my path. I do not do that by myself. My task in humility is to follow where the Lord will actually lead me. The transformation of culture and society, and now the transformation and the reconversion of the church, must be a return to these basic principles, these philosophical truths, and the most basic one being God is in charge. If we cannot accept that and then live and be governed accordingly, It will be difficult for us to be agents of transforming grace, and it will be difficult for the world to be transformed. Not impossible, because we know with God and through and for Him, all things are indeed possible. But through our own devices, through our own industry, it cannot happen unless we give ourselves completely into the hands of God. The Holy Father, Pius XI, as he continues to reflect on the necessity of the celebration of this feast, reminds us that Christ is indeed our King because of the perfectedness that he's received and the perfectedness that is in him by virtue of being the God-man. He reveals to us the reality in the face of love and shows forth that in the flesh we can truly cooperate perfectly with the grace of God. As such, the Holy Father says, Christ must reign in the hearts of all men, not just believing man, but all mankind must accept and allow Christ to reign in their hearts. Implicit in this exhortation is the ongoing call for evangelization. We can never rest, brothers and sisters, until all of mankind is professing the true, full faith that is our Catholicism. We live in a pluralistic society, but there are not a plurality of truths. And while there might be divergence as to how we might choose to live these truths out, there is only one truth, and that is Christ Himself. And He subsists and is in His church, complete and total. Anything else that derivates from that simply is not truth. These are not easy things to say, and not easy things to hear. But they need to be both said and heard if man is going to be transformed and Christ can truly reign in the hearts of men and in the hearts of all those who are called to leadership. The Holy Father also reminds us that this reality of Christ's kingship not only impacts and affects those who govern and those who lead, but also affects each one of us individually and interiorly. And in truth, brothers and sisters, I exhort you to begin there. Because we don't have the power to transform governments or to set presidents and prime ministers on the right course. But what we do have the power is to govern our own lives in the grace of God, to give ourselves over to God and allow Him to be the one who leads us. If Christ is not reigning in my heart, and I am not obedient to the will of the Father, it'll be difficult for others to find in me the example that God calls me to be as I seek to be the new man that I am in Christ by virtue of baptism. Theologians, leaders, teachers, whoever you might be, whatever role you may play in being in charge of other men, small or large, you must always have reference to Christ as King. Not as merely a philosophical, theological construct or theological expression that has become ossified and stale upon the page. It must be a reality that permeates every aspect of who you are. Which means, brothers and sisters, this feast is comprehensive and total and complete. You cannot be Catholic on Sunday and then divest yourself of your Catholicism Monday through Friday because you're embarrassed or ashamed to witness to your truth. You cannot be Catholic when you are here and be uber Catholic when you are here and then somehow be afraid or ashamed to preach and defend the teachings of the church, whether it be to strangers or enemies, but most especially to your families. To your brothers and sisters, your aunts, your uncles, maybe even your own parents who have walked away from the abandoned the practice of the faith. Those are the very people that you need to challenge in charity and love and compassion, but you must challenge them nonetheless. I've often wondered why it has happened that we as Catholics are always the ones apologizing for what it is that we believe. That we are the ones that have to make the concessions when people are not living as they should. That we are the ones that somehow have to bend over backwards to accommodate people when they are embracing a life of sin. That is not a rhetorical question. How has this come to pass? Because in truth, in those precise moments where we compromise even the smallest letter of the law, in some way, shape, or form, we are not giving proper obeisance to Christ who is our King. Will this cost us something? And the answer is most definitely, because it cost our Lord His life. Therefore, there will be sacrifices. You will have to sacrifice the esteem of men. You will have to sacrifice the false harmony in human relationships and families. That is not authentic peace when we don't preach the truth. And the Holy Father himself, again, in his exhortation, makes that very clear. There is no peace and tranquility that comes from any other place except for relationship with our Savior. If there is a certain energy to my preaching for today, it is precisely because this feast reminds us not only how very far away we are from where it is we need to be, but what it is that also must be done individually by each one of us to bring us closer to that which God desires for us. What then can we do? First and foremost, it is to live in such a way that the reality of Christ's kingship is manifest in our own lives. How do you govern yourself day in and day out? Only you, before God, can truly answer that question. Secondly, we must pray for our clergy, most especially for their ongoing education and formation. Sadly, so many of my brothers are ignorant of the truth. And because of their ignorance, they lack a courageousness, not a foolhardiness, but a true, authentic courageousness to preach the truth regardless of what it is that may happen to them. We also must seek proper religious instruction, not only for our young people entrusted to our care, but all of us must continue to grow in our faith. If you stopped reading after you were confirmed, and that was the last time you delved into the truths of the faith, now is a good time to begin again. Because you do not know everything there is to know about Catholicism. You will never know everything there is to know about Catholicism. But the more you do, the stronger you are in your relationship with God, and the more courageous you will be in the proclamation of the truth. And of course, all of this is done in charity. Our triumphalism, and indeed we are triumphal, is not because of anything that we have done, but because we share in the victory of Christ himself. And so when we approach others, especially those who are blind to the truths of the faith, those who are hostile, those who have rejected and walked away, we do that with love and compassion, but we do that also with truth. Again, our Lord has accomplished his victory and has become king because he sits upon a throne that is a cross, and he is indeed crowned with thorns. And so it must be for all of his subjects as well. We will suffer. We will shed our blood. We will die. But all of that in the name of our King brings about a newness and a wholeness of life both now and forever. Let us pray through this holy sacrifice for the courage and the strength that we need to witness in private and in public, in season and out, to the truths of our Savior and the reality of his kingship and sovereignty over all men. Let us rejoice that we have been found worthy to be his subjects, and under his banner, let us go forth and renew the world. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.